afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time hearing the Animation Podcast, well, let me tell you, today's episode is actually going to be very interesting. Funny enough, I actually don't have any animation news. I actually got animation-related news, where I'm going to be talking about some big news that are associated with an animated project. Not necessarily about an animated project itself, funny enough. And if you don't know what I mean, well, let me just tell you right now that in this episode, I'm going to start things off with the live-action remake of The Lion King, and how one little bit of news or one little removal might upset some fans. And then afterwards, we're going to be jumping into another live-action remake, this time of Disney's Pinocchio. Then we are going to be talking about why the fridge are so many people upset about a trailer of Reboot that just came out. Then afterwards, we will be talking about McDonald's and something very stupid that they are actually doing recently. And finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. Now, if you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, which is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, for our first story that we got right over here, we are going to begin by talking about what could possibly be the most anticipated of the Disney live-action remakes that they are going to release very soon. In fact, it's going to be out in the middle of 2019, The Lion King. And one of the big reasons why this is so highly anticipated is not just because we are talking about The Lion King, which is one of the most beloved Disney animated features of all time, but also because it's going to be directed by Jon Favreau. Now, if you guys may remember, Jon Favreau actually did a surprisingly great job with the live-action remake of The Jungle Book. Usually nowadays, the Disney live-action remakes, they would range from decent to forgettably mediocre, or in some cases, they could come out as just plain bad. And some examples I could think of include Maleficent, Beauty and the Beast, what else is there? Alice in Wonderland, Pete's Dragon, and all that kind of stuff. Like, honestly, nowadays, people just immediately forget about it, and we're going back to remembering more the animated features that they're actually based on. But The Jungle Book, on the other hand, that actually turned out to be pretty good, almost to the levels of the original 1967 animated film. So, yeah, he really did a good job, and so far, people are trusting him to actually do justice to a movie like The Lion King when turning it into a live-action remake. However, recently there was news that came out that really did get a lot of mixed reactions, and people are not really sure how to respond to it. Some people, they're actually really cool with the happy news, and the one little sacrifice, people are honestly they're a bit upset about it. Now, what I'm talking about, I guess I'll tell you this in the form of good news and some bad news. Now, the good news is that James Earl Jones will not be the only person that's going to be coming back to this from the original animated film. Apparently, Disney actually brought back Elton John and Tim Rice to do the soundtrack of the Lion King live-action remake, just like what they did with the original animated film. So basically, they do have a role that is very similar to what Alan Menken did for the live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast, where he already did the original songs from the animated film, and now he's coming back to see how he can give it a little bit of a big budget upgrade for the live-action remake. And I guess that's what Elton John and Tim Rice are going to do. But on top of that, they also revealed that not only are they going to bring back some of the original songs, but also they will be collaborating with Beyoncé in order to create a brand new original song for the credits of the film. And as you guys probably know, Beyoncé is in the movie, where she will be playing the role as adult Nala. So you might be wondering, okay, that's actually really awesome. So where's the bad news in all this? Why is it something that people might be upset about? Well, I think for this, I'm actually going to go ahead and read you a little quote here that Elton John said when he did a little interview with The Sun. So it says right over here, they need to have a new end credits song. Yeah, I've already said that. There's going to be 4 of our songs in the film from the original. Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Hakuna Matata, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, and The Circle of Life. And then there will be at the end closing song, and we've been speaking to Beyonce's people, and hopefully Tim and I and her can cook something up. That's going to be out in 2019 as well, and it will be great work with her, so we will see. So that's basically the big thing, is that apparently just 4 of the original songs are going to be coming out. Just Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Hakuna Matata, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, and The Circle of Life. Now, The Circle of Life, we already know that it's going to be featured in the film, since you may remember last year at the D23 Expo, they actually gave audiences an exclusive preview of what the live-action remake is going to look like in the form of The Circle of Life. So that we already know, but now I guess it's already confirmed now that we are going to have the Oscar-winning song Can You Feel the Love Tonight, we are getting Hakuna Matata, and we are getting I Just Can't Wait to Be King. Now, if you guys are major Lion King, if you are Lion King fans, then you might have noticed that there is one that's actually missing. One that is actually pretty well known, but then again, I'm talking about The Lion King, so which song from there isn't popular? One popular song that's actually not in there. Did you notice which one? Yep, it's actually Be Prepared. Now, for those of you who probably live under a rock and somehow have yet to even see The Lion King, Be Prepared is actually the villain song, where Scar is pretty much plotting his ideas and he's imagining what is it going to look like when he is going to dethrone Mufasa in order to become the new king of the Pride Lands, and he has his hyena army to go and support him for that action. And that's basically the big thing with Be Prepared. A lot of people do remember it as not just an amazing song that's in the movie, but also one of the most beloved villain songs. Like, this one is actually really up there with songs like Poor Unfortunate Soul from The Little Mermaid, the Mob Song from Beauty and the Beast, and Hellfire from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So this is actually a very beloved and very popular villain song that they got, but sadly, it doesn't look like it's actually going to be in the movie. And a lot of people seem to be very upset that it doesn't sound like The Lion King is actually going to be complete. And for some reason that there's going to be some sacrifices, including the song Be Prepared. And personally, I do understand why people would be sad to not see Be Prepared coming from there. And I do see a lot of the cons that would actually come with it. Like, what happens if you take The Lion King and you decided to remove Be Prepared? What's going to happen? I think the main thing would actually be the fact that it would actually kind of weaken the character of Scar. Because when you do think about it, Scar doesn't necessarily offer all that much. Like, sure, he managed to reach his goal of dethroning Mufasa, sorry about that, and actually becoming the new king of Pride Lands. But then afterwards, he doesn't really do much. Like, he just becomes this whiny little brat where he thinks like, okay, I'm the king, I get to do whatever I want and all that kind of stuff. Be Prepared is actually the scene where Scar is actually the most threatening. That's really the thing that made him one of the most memorable Disney villains out there. where you do see how he is plotting, how he is kind of the alpha male of the Outlands and the alpha male of the Hyenas, why he should be someone that characters like Simba, Mufasa, Zazu, and all the others should actually fear, and how he's more of a dictator than someone that is a kind ruler like Mufasa. So that's kind of the big thing. Be Prepared really does set him up to be at his most threatening. And technically, the only other scene that I can think of where he actually really is threatening is just the part where he's actually doing the action of, dethroning Mufasa. Like, where he's got Mufasa on his claws on the cliff going, "Long live the king!" And that's pretty much it. I mean, sure, you got your mandatory fight at the end with Simba and stuff like that, but that's pretty much it. Like, as I said before, if you take away Be Prepared, then you're really not going to have much with Scar. He's just going to end up looking like a bit of a weak character. And I honestly forgot right now who's going to play Scar in the live-action remake. I think it's going to be Chadwick Boseman, I believe. I don't know, but the thing is that he's going to have a really big role where not only is he going to try to reinvent Scar, but really try to find a way to see what can he do to really upgrade the character without the use of Be Prepared. So that's going to play a key factor. And yeah, like with Be Prepared, it is also one of the most memorable scenes in The Lion King, so it really is a bit disappointed, and I am really sad that they had to take it out, because honestly, with the technology that Jon Favreau has, it would have probably looked amazing if they made like the big budget live action remake version of Be Prepared with all the steam coming out of it, with the hundreds of hyenas marching, and then you see like all the rocks that are rising from the ground with Scar just like pretty cool, pretty chillaxed, like he knows what's going on, and like he feels like a mighty ruler already just by singing that song. And even with the song itself, it would have been awesome to hear like this massive upgrade with an entire giant orchestra playing, like trying to make it more extravagant than debatably what's already been done in the animated film. That would have been great to see, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're not going to get that chance. And yet, that could also be a reason why that they had to remove it. It's because, yeah, it could be too ambitious to really turn that into a live-action remake, per se. Because, think about it. Now, I did try to think long and hard as to why is it that they had to completely remove Be Prepared in the first place. And I think I might know an answer, and I think I could definitely see in the perspective of the filmmakers why that had to be sacrificed. Because I think the biggest thing, really, is the fact that we're not talking about The Lion King. We're talking about Jon Favreau's The Lion King. And he's not going to go beat by beat with how the original animated film actually did. If that were the case, then I think it would be a lot less expensive for Disney to just re-release the movie in theaters. And technically, they've already done so in the beginning of the 2000s when they released The Lion King in 3D. So that's already been done. And the thing is with Jon Favreau, he is looking for ways to put his own print onto remaking a movie that already exists. And I think the greatest example of that is if you look into his version of The Jungle Book. I think we can all agree that his version of The Jungle Book is nothing like the 1967 animated feature. And while there are some new additions into it and a lot of changes, there are also a lot of sacrifices. And if you are familiar with the animated film, then they are easily noticeable on the spot. Like, for example, Colonel Hottie is not in Jon Favreau's film. I mean, technically, yes, there are elephants in there, and they are very prominent as important figures. Like, I think Bagheera even stated that it's the elephants that are rumored to be the ones that created this Earth and stuff like that. But the elephants, they don't really talk. You know, you don't see them acting like army people and the leader being like a general sergeant all singing like, 10 hop, 2, 3, 4, da 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 da. That, and also, we don't see the vultures either. Like, if you remember in the animated film, you got a group of vultures that are supposed to be reminiscent to the Beatles. Now, they are nowhere to be found in Jon Favreau's movie. You don't see a single impersonation of the Beatles whatsoever. Or really, you don't see a bird character either. Like, not all that much in that film, come to think about it. But yeah, what I'm trying to say in here is that, of course, Jon Favreau is not going to go copy beat by beat what the animated feature has done and has to make some sacrifices, not just onto the characters, but also onto some songs as well. Like, yeah, sure, in The Jungle Book, you do hear some verses of the original song, like you hear Bare Necessities and I Want to Be Like You, and you do hear a little bit of Trust in Me in the soundtrack, especially when Scarlett Johansson Kaa would be appearing in the movie. But in The Lion King, that is honestly what we have to expect as well, that things are going to be a little bit different so that it could stand out as Jon Favreau's The Lion King. And like I said before, even though it would have been really awesome to see all the different things that they could do with Be Prepared, including all the hyenas marching and all the steam coming out, like the aesthetics of the Outlands, and also the rocks rising from the ground that's carrying Scar up and some of the hyenas as well. The problem with it is that it would be way too ambitious and probably a little too expensive to go and create. Like, this would be massively hard work for the visual effects artist. Now, the reason why I say that is that if you do think about the scene of Be Prepared in the original animated film, I think we can agree that it's probably the one that is the most different from the entire rest of the film, where the aesthetics are completely different. The layout of the backgrounds are more different, like they're more sharp, they're more rigid, you know, it feels more like an uncomfortable place to be in. The colors are more different, where they emphasize a lot more on the greens, and it's a darker environment. That and also, they are dealing with some things that are not necessarily present in the movie. Like, you see a whole bunch of steam, you see a whole bunch of moving rocks, and all that kind of stuff. So it would be a little too complicated in order to craft that into a big budget live action film. So, of course, some sacrifices had to be made, and I guess that would actually be the one. Now, again, I'm not saying that, okay, fine, we should accept it and move on. Honestly, it is, like I said before, I do understand why fans would be a little bit upset that Be Prepared is not there. Honestly, in my opinion, I would have probably switched Be Prepared with I Just Can't Wait to Be King, because I feel like Be Prepared does have more of a connection to the story than something just like, I just can't wait to be king. Technically, with that one, like, Simba could just make a little dialogue saying, it was like, yeah, I just can't wait to be king. You know, just make, like, a little reference to that, and that's just pretty much it. Like, they could just dialogue their way into doing that song, and, like, in a way, it is a little bit different in terms of the aesthetics. I mean, yeah, it is, like, more bright and colorful, and technically it is one of the more, well, not one of the more, but it is the more cartoony part of the movie that's a little bit more different than the rest of the film. So, honestly, in my opinion, I would have switched Be Prepared with I Just Can't Wait to Be King, but I guess it's Jon Favreau's decision, it's Disney's decision, and I guess they're gonna go from there. So, hopefully, that's not going to hinder on the movie too much. It's not going to weaken the character of Scar too much. But overall, I guess we'll just have to wait and see with how this movie is going to roll out. Now, the film is actually going to be coming out pretty soon on July 19th, 2019. So I'm still going to be a bit optimistic about this one. Again, it is still Jon Favreau working on this. And if he delivers something as good as his version of The Jungle Book and do that with The Lion King, then honestly, I'm going to be satisfied. Okay, so for our next story that we got right over here, we're going to be talking about another Disney live-action remake. But unlike The Lion King, we're going to be talking about one that is pretty early in development. In fact, production hasn't really started yet. And what I'm talking about is actually going to be regarding Pinocchio. Yes, this one is actually going to be a little bit more dangerous than the other ones, because now we're entering upon some sacred territory. Like, we're entering upon the golden age of Walt Disney right over here. And not just that, we're talking about Pinocchio, what is considered by many to be one of, if not the greatest animated feature of all time. The one that really set a massively high standard for animation, even after almost 80 years. So, how the fridge can you find a way to really honor and pay homage to such a classic movie with a live-action remake? Well, I'll tell you. What if I say that Disney would actually go and get the director of one of the most highly acclaimed movies in recent years? Like, really, there has never been a movie that have received so much praise from the critics than this film. And it was done by this guy, and now he is actually going to be working on Pinocchio. Now you might be wondering, oh, okay, well, that could be pretty good. Maybe, like, it could gain some of my trust, so who are they going to get for this? Are they getting, like, Martin Scorsese's? Are they getting Steven Spielberg? Are they getting Christopher Nolan? Who are they going to get for this? Well, none of those, actually. Because who I am talking about is actually the director of the Paddington movies, Paul King. Now, reports are pretty much saying that Disney right now is talking with Paul King to see if he's actually going to go and do some directorial work for the live-action remake of the 1940 animated classic Pinocchio. Now, Disney actually did have a script for this. It was actually done by Jack Thorne, who recently wrote the script of Wonder. Like, right now, he's actually going to be rewriting the script of the live-action remake of Pinocchio. And on top of that, they already got some producers on there as well. And they say, right, and I'm using my source here in The Hollywood Reporter, saying that Chris Wise and also Andrew Miano are going to be producing the film as well. And Chris Weitz actually wrote the last version of the script. And originally, it was supposed to be Sam Mendes that was supposed to be directing this live-action remake of Pinocchio. But I guess nowadays, it doesn't seem to be working out, so they decided to go ahead and get Paul King. Now, on top of that, what's actually very interesting is that not too long after the news that he would be associated with Pinocchio, he actually signed on with Warner Brothers to go and work on a movie called Willy Wonka, which apparently is supposed to be a prequel to the Roald Dahl classic book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where we will see how is it that Willy Wonka became the legendary chocolatier that we all know him today. So that's pretty much the big news that we got right now, is the fact that Paul King is now going to be the director of Pinocchio. And honestly, as I've stated before, this is something that I feel like is very dangerous for Disney to do, considering that, yeah, they are going into some sacred territory, and if not handled correctly, then they are going to piss off some hardcore Disney fans. Like, they're not going to be upset. They are legitimately going to be pissed. Like, this is going to be the kind that Disney fans are going to be going after the Disney studios and actually singing, like, they're going to be singing the mob song from Beauty and the Beast. And they're just going to be marching in going, we don't like what we don't understand. It quite as scary as this monster is mysterious, at least. Bring your guns, bring your knives, save your children, and your wives. So we'll save our village at the last. We'll kill the beast, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So really, they have to be seriously careful with this. But I will say, having Paul King and somebody who truly has proven his worth by making the Paddington films, yeah, you know, that actually would work out well. In fact, like, you think about Paddington, it does have a lot of strong similarities to Pinocchio, considering that it does bring out that timeless feel. And, you know, it finds a way to be charming and whimsical at the same time. And that's what Walt Disney's Pinocchio would actually do here. It's trying to be timeless, charming, and whimsical. So he would be a great fit to go and adapt this movie. Now, who knows if it would be possible if he'll even try to incorporate some elements from the original Carlo Collodi story and the Carlo Collodi book. But the thing is that, yeah, that could be possible, and maybe he'll do a little bit like what Jon Favreau did with the original, with the Jungle Book, where it has some elements of the movie, but also a little bit of elements from the original book as well by Rudyard Kipling. But honestly, that would be a little bit tricky to actually do with something like Pinocchio, because if you have actually read the original book by Carlo Collodi, oh boy, yeah, it ain't the Disney film that we remember. Disney had to legitimately make some major changes just to make sure they remove any sort of mean-spiritedness from Pinocchio at all. Otherwise, like, we would see Paul King trying to go and make a make a scene with Jiminy Cricket going, remember, Pinocchio, always let your conscience be your, oh my god! Yeah, something like that. And yes, that does actually happen to the book. Jiminy Cricket doesn't have that big of a part, just saying. And, yeah, but honestly, hearing that Paul King would actually go ahead and do it, and after seeing the Paddington movies, that, like, honestly, I do have a little bit more trust on him to actually do something like Pinocchio. I'm sure that at the very least, he could find a way to really work something out. And yeah, honestly, like I said before, this has to be a movie that Disney has to seriously get it right, considering that it's not just an important film. This is a sacred film, especially for the company. I mean, we're literally talking about the movie that gave us When You Wish Upon a Star, which is like the anthem of the entire Walt Disney Company. Like, this is the song that literally every Disney movie has to start out when you see the castle going, da, 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 da. You know, like, they really gotta know how to find a way to really get this right. And I think hiring Paul King is definitely a good step in the right direction. However, before I continue, I just need to say this, though. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure if it's actually true, to be honest. Now, I'm not saying that these are all rumors or stuff like that. The reason why I am a little bit confused about it is mainly because I have two articles right over here. One is from Variety and the other is from The Hollywood Reporter. And they're both literally released just 2 minutes apart from each other. Like, The Hollywood Reporter's article was released on February 20th at 4:29 p.m., while the one on Variety is actually released on February 20th at 4:31 p.m. And they're actually both in Pacific Standard Time. And the thing is that in The Hollywood Reporter, they would say that it is official that Paul King would actually direct the live-action remake of Pinocchio. While on Variety, it only says that Paul King is in talks with Disney in order to go and direct the live-action remake of Pinocchio. So honestly, these are, like I said, these are two highly reliable sources, But I don't know which one is actually the truth. Is Paul King officially in Pinocchio, or is he pending to be in Pinocchio? I honestly don't really know, but I guess at this point, I guess the best answer I could say right now is that there is a good chance that Paul King is going to be in Pinocchio. And if he is, then honestly, I would actually be quite excited. I would actually be optimistic about this movie. Now, there is no release date as of yet to see if when Pinocchio would actually be released. There is some talks that Disney is hoping that for this fall, they would actually start production on the film. But we'll just have to wait and see with how it goes. Now, I'm guessing right now there could be a chance Pinocchio might, if things go well for Disney, at the earliest, we would see like either a 2020 or a 2021 release date. But we'll just have to wait and see. And hopefully if Paul King is going to be in the movie, then it'll turn out something awesome. Now for our next story right over here. Holy crap. I just need to start this off by saying that I have never seen a trailer for an animated project getting so much hate than the Emoji Movie. I kid you not. Like, I'm on YouTube right now, and as I'm recording this, the like and dislike ratio, it's astronomically unfavorable for this trailer. Like, right now, it has about 500 likes and over 6,000 dislikes. So yeah, that's a pretty big margin right over there. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is actually going to be for the upcoming Netflix series reboot, The Guardian Code. Yes, this is actually going to be the long-awaited reboot of reboot. So what the fridge happened in here that made audiences so mad about this trailer? Why are they so pissed off over this reboot? I mean, aren't they waiting for so long for this to happen? Well, let me tell you what is going on with this. Where is it that it went wrong? Now, first of all, it would start off with a bunch of kids entering in a brand new high school, or like, these are the new kids on the block that they're just starting school all over again. And like, these four kids would meet up, and then suddenly they would go into a basement where they find some high-tech gadgetry, and then suddenly they would get teleported into the cyberspace, into the world of reboot. And suddenly this like Cyberwoman would come in and tell them, "You guys are the guardians that have to save the cyberspace." And so far, it seems that now these kids would have to go and try to pretty much find the balance between being average school kids and being guardians in the cyber world in order to save the world from this evil hacker that is known as the Sorcerer. Now, that's basically what this trailer is telling us what Reboot the Guardian Code is. And let me just start this off by saying that as a Canadian, I am actually very familiar with Reboot. I remember when I was very young, growing up in the 90s, I actually was watching Reboot on YTV. Now, I don't really remember a lot of the show itself. I don't really remember a lot of the story, and I don't really remember a lot about the characters, because keep in mind, I was just a godforsaken child, so I was not at the point where those elements would actually register in my brain and know how the show would be. So the one thing that I do remember the most is actually the imagery of Reboot. The fact that it is the first animated series done in computer animation, and I do remember how the characters look. So that's pretty much all that I do remember about Reboot, but I do remember that I actually have watched Reboot as a kid. But even if I don't remember a whole lot about the original Reboot, I can say that when watching this trailer right over here, I don't remember it being like this. In fact, I don't really see much that seems familiar. Maybe like the villain that the hacker would talk to. Maybe it's the same villain like it is in the original, but that is pretty much it. And I think I really do understand why is it that it's so hated by the public. Because the big thing is not really that, well, this is not like the reboot I remember. Like, I know you're going to see a whole lot of comments of people trying to say that this thing is ruining their childhood and this is nothing like the original and stuff like that. But I don't think it's really the aspect that it's not like the original that's the problem. It's the fact that what they got instead of the original is just something that is so boring, that is so cliche, that it's been done so many times before. This is like your typical superhero animated series where you just see like a bunch of kids that are trying to mix being average students with a mix of being like superhero people trying to save the world and stuff like that. And on top of that, this looks like this has more of a connection to Power Rangers more so than Reboot. Like, you see that the people, like, they would turn, like, when they would go into cyberspace, they would turn into, like, these superhero-type characters with different uniforms and, like, primary colors. Like, you see one is all in yellow, one is all in green, one is all in red, and also one is all in blue. So, really, there isn't that much of a difference than what you would pretty much get outside of, like, any other superhero series. And also, another thing that I want to comment is actually regarding the animation. Like, when they would enter upon the superhero world. Now, the thing is with Reboot, like I said before, if you don't know what it is actually known to be the first ever computer animated series, like a computer animated TV show that was released back in the mid-90s. But that's the thing, it was out in the mid-90s. So, watching it right now, you could say that the animation is primitive, but you could still admire for the achievements that it actually did. It's a little bit like Toy Story in a way. Sure, the animation is a little bit cheap compared to how it is nowadays, but you do admire the technology that they had to use back then, and you understand the legendary impact that it actually does have. But in this reboot right over here, more than 20 years later, this reboot looks like it was done from the early 2000s. Like, it only made a jump from less than 10 years technology-wise. You know, this looks no different than the same kind of technology than what we got in something like Shrek or the first Ice Age or Monsters, Inc. Really, like, even this kind of looks a little bit primitive. Now, I know that technically this is a TV show, and you can't really expect that the technology in here would be as grand as a movie. That I understand, but still, I mean, like, we have seen a lot of TV shows that do have really good computer animation. Like, case in point, Trollhunters is actually a series in which the animation can almost be considered in the levels of feature film. That would almost be acceptable to be put into a movie if it, like, if it would just need a little bit more polishing, then right over there, you got feature quality animation. But this right over here, it still kind of looks cheap, to be honest. Like, honestly, this is not too far off to what they've originally done back in the early 90s. And maybe they were going for that style to still capture that look of Reboot. But still, I mean, it still looks kind of cheap. But overall, yeah, I do agree that this trailer does kind of suck. Where you do see that the animation is not that great, and the story is just repetitive, it's cheap, and it's unoriginal. And yeah, like, I could definitely understand that Reboot fans actually do feel betrayed. Oh! But I just realized something. Oh my god, I almost forgot to actually mention about this. You know, the funny thing about this whole reboot series, like this new reboot, you know, the funny thing is that I actually knew this would happen. I knew this whole time that they would do something that would actually piss off audiences. I remember a couple of years back, I actually talked to a friend of mine who actually was familiar with what was going on with the production of Reboot. And the person told me, and I remember the person mentioned that, like, just to keep it a secret and stuff like that, but at the most, the person told me that this is going to be nothing like the original. This is not going to be like Reboot as we know it. So, yeah, honestly, I am not surprised to see that audiences are actually really pissed off. But still, I was a little bit surprised to see that it would get this much negativity. Again, this is honestly something that is so hated. Like, I haven't seen this much hate for an animated project ever since the Emoji Movie. So, yeah, like, I guess we found our TV version of it. But then again, it is a reboot animated series. And when I say reboot, I don't mean, like, the series reboot. I mean, like, a reboot, like, a remake. Like, you know, I guess people are just gonna give it the Teen Titans Go treatment, I suppose. And if you are curious to see how the series would actually go, then all you have to do is just wait until it is released on Netflix, where all the episodes are going to be coming out on March 30th. Now, for our next story that we have right over here, sadly, it just goes to show that no matter who it is, rather it be just a dumb individual or even a big company, they cannot learn their lesson. And sometimes they'll try to fix the problem, but they'll end up making things worse. Now, before I get into the actual news itself, I just want to give you guys a little bit of a reminder of what happened a few months ago. And it was the biggest and most embarrassing animation news story that happened last year, in which I titled it The Rick and Morty Szechuan Sauce Disaster. Now, if you may recall, there was one joke during season 3 of Rick and Morty where Rick was completely obsessed with the Szechuan sauce. And ever since then, it really became such a giant meme, like pretty much right up there with Pickle Rick. And everybody was pretty much going crazy over the Szechuan sauce. And that pretty much gave McDonald's an idea where they said that for a limited time only, they are actually going to be bringing back the Szechuan sauce, where for one day, you can go to McDonald's and you can actually order a packet of Szechuan sauce if you buy some chicken McNuggets. Now, the thing with the Szechuan sauce is that back in the late 90s, McDonald's had a little special that is a tie-in to the Disney animated feature Mulan, where they had a special dipping sauce called the Szechuan sauce. And from there, Justin Roiland was pretty much joking around at the studio of Adult Swim, where he was obsessed over the Szechuan sauce, and Dan Harmon and the crew decided to add that into the show, kind of like a little in-joke, per se, where they decided to poke fun at Justin's little obsession over the Szechuan sauce. But apparently it grew substantially to the point that it got McDonald's attention and decided to really capitalize on an internet meme. But what ended up happening turned out to be a massive disaster. Now, it's not really the fact that McDonald's had no connection with Rick and Morty whatsoever. In fact, they're trying to sell it as an off-brand Rick and Morty thing, but it was only available in some McDonald's, and they only had like 20 to 60 packets each onto each McDonald's, or like the McDonald's that would at least have some that would actually have the Szechuan sauce. And that actually turned out into crazy riots, like people freaking out and expressing so much outrage onto McDonald's. And, like, the fact that they couldn't get their little dipping sauce for chicken McNuggets, it really just went insane. Like, it was a disaster for McDonald's because they poorly managed a little event trying to capitalize on an internet meme, and ultimately, it made Rick and Morty fans look bad, where now Rick and Morty is in the category of having a toxic fan base right up there with stuff like Steven Universe, Loud House, and many more. Sadly, it started to have this poor reputation right over there. But apparently, even with all that, that's actually not going to stop McDonald's from doing it again, from trying to still capitalize on what's already a dead meme. So apparently on February 22nd, McDonald's made the announcement that not only is the Szechuan sauce coming back to McDonald's, but what they're going to do is that all across America, like now in every McDonald's, they will be distributing a grand total of 20 million packets of Szechuan sauce starting on Monday, February 26th. And on top of that, they really did make a big campaign out of it. And the craziest thing is that unlike last time where they're trying to subtly connect themselves with Rick and Morty without actually connecting themselves to Rick and Morty, the big promotion is actually related to the disaster that happened. So, quite literally, what McDonald's is doing, or what they have done, is that they took the disastrous campaign and they used that as the marketing for what is essentially literally the same campaign to give out Szechuan sauce to Rick and Morty fans. And on top of that, they tried to make it a big deal where they even made a little three-part podcast series called The Sauce that told the events of what happened during that time. Oh my God, are you freaking kidding me, McDonald's? Like, are you really doing something that stupid? Like, why the fridge are you doing this again? And like I said before, I mean, the Szechuan sauce meme is pretty much dead. Nobody is going crazy over Szechuan sauce anymore. In fact, ironically enough, you killed the Szechuan sauce meme with this stupid freaking campaign. So nobody cares about the Szechuan sauce anymore. Like, it's far too late to go and do something like that. It's too late to really capitalize on a meme. And technically, I understand the argument that, well, technically, McDonald's is actually doing that in order to show people that they have learned their lesson, that they do know the error of their ways, and they're trying to do it again in order to go and try to get it right this time. But ironically enough, you could say that, but in actuality, the biggest irony is that McDonald's, by doing this, they have learned absolutely nothing. Like, literally, nothing has been learned. McDonald's did not learn that trying to capitalize on a meme is not worth it. Like, this is literally the equivalent. Like, what the fridge is next? Is McDonald's gonna go and sell spaghetti in order to tie themselves in with the meme of somebody touching my spaghetti? And on top of that, what's even worse is that it doesn't learn a lesson for the Rick and Morty fans. Like, as I said before, they have a reputation of having a toxic fan base. Now, I'm not saying everybody that likes Rick and Morty is evil and bad and stupid and stuff like that. You know, there are definitely a lot of great people that do like to watch Rick and Morty. Absolutely. It's just that the bad seeds of the Rick and Morty fans, my God, they are very toxic. Case in point, look at the freaking lunatic that went viral during this time where he just went insane in front of a cashier going, I'm Pickle Rick! Where's my Szechuan sauce? I'm Pickle Rick! Show me what you got! Wubba-lubba-dub-dub! You know, it's just insane. Why is freaking McDonald's doing this? And I feel like the idiots win and they're not learning anything about it. Honestly, the true thing that should happen is that nobody deserves Szechuan sauce. McDonald's should not be giving away any Szechuan sauce to freaking anyone if people are going to behave so immaturely and so stupidly. like causing massive riots and literally spending thousands of dollars for what is essentially a dipping sauce for freaking chicken McNuggets. I mean, freaking seriously, McDonald's, this is not worth it, man. Honestly, what you're doing is far too late, okay? Honestly, there's no point in trying to capitalize this stupid meme anymore. Alright, the meme is done. The meme is over. Season 3 of Rick and Morty has been long over for months. So really, there's no point in doing this, okay? Honestly, it just shows us that you have learned nothing from this godforsaken controversy. Really, this is the mess that you've caused, and you decided to pretty much reward the idiots that made you look bad in the first place. Congratulations, McDonald's. You made yourself look stupid. And so, finally, we will now go and end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And I certainly need a story right now just to calm myself down after the last story. Trust me, when I would see a news report, whenever it's about idiots not learning their lesson, yeah, it's something that, honestly, it's worth getting mad at, I would say. But now I need some good news that would seem more appealing, something that I could be more happy about. I need some good news, honestly, just to cap it off on Animat's Pick of the Week. And I might have actually found one, which is actually going to be about Disney's upcoming big streaming service. Now, as you guys probably know, Disney is planning to make its own version of Netflix, which is going to be coming out in 2019, where Disney is pretty much putting all their big movies and TV shows onto this one streaming service where if you need your Disney fix, then you could check it out right there. Where not only are you going to get the Disney animated movies and the Pixar movies and their live action films, you can also get the TV shows from like Disney Junior, Disney Channel, Disney XD, and all that kind of stuff. And also you would get the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies as well. But on top of that, you would also go ahead and get some exclusive stuff as well. And that's where really it is more like Netflix, where Disney is actually saying that there is a possibility that they would make some remakes to their popular films from the 90s and the 80s. And in my article here in the Hollywood Reporter, it even stated that there is a possibility we would see remakes of movies like The Parent Trap, Father of the Bride, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids that is going to be appearing in that streaming service. But on top of that, we also do see a lot of exclusive series that's going to be there as well. Now, for me, when I first heard about this streaming service, I wasn't necessarily sure about it. Like, for me, I was just looking at it and I was thinking, well, maybe there's no point for me. Like, I highly doubt it if it's actually going to be available in Canada or even in Quebec. And also, if I do need to go and watch something Disney-related, then there's a very high chance that I already own it on Blu-ray or DVD. So maybe this streaming service might not be for me. But then Disney looked at me, they heard me say that, and they said, oh, okay. All right, that's fine. Well, you know, if you don't want it, then that's pretty much okay. I mean, I guess you'll probably just miss out on the new Muppets reboot we're going to make for the streaming service. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what did you say? Did you say a new Muppet series? Yeah, we're making a brand new Muppet TV show that is only going to be available for our streaming service. But if you don't want it, I guess that's, you know, that's fine. Whoa, wait, Disney. Now, hold on a sec. If you're legit doing something like that, then, you know, I'm not saying no immediately. And let me tell you, I don't know what it is, but somehow Disney knows me. Disney, for some reason, is a massively seductive mistress that knows me way too well. And that's basically what they have done right now. Disney has officially announced, or actually the news came out, that on Disney's exclusive streaming service, there is going to be a brand new Muppet series. Now, this is not going to be like any of the other series before. This is going to be a brand new thing. It's going to be its own thing right now, where it's going to be a brand new show. Now, we don't have any words as of yet of what is going on with this Muppet series, but this is pretty much going to be added onto the list of exclusive series that they are going to do that is only exclusive to this Disney streaming service, or like Disney's Netflix per se. We already know that there's going to be a live action Star Wars series. There's going to be a High School Musical series, a Mighty Ducks series, and even a TV show based on Monsters, Inc. And now the Muppets are actually going to be added in there. Now, if you guys know me, then you probably know very well that I love the Muppets. I probably love the Muppets as much as I do animation. I look up to people like Kermit, Fozzie, Miss Piggy, Gonzo. I grew up with them as a kid. My favorite Disney ride is Muppet Vision 3D, which thankfully it is still there at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And honestly, I am a major Muppet fan. So when I heard that this news came out and that there is going to be a brand new Muppet series, I immediately got excited to hear that. In fact, the funny thing is that when you do look back at what Disney has done with the Muppets in recent years, you could tell that they are trying to make them a viable franchise. Like, they are still trying to make them they're trying to make them current. They're trying to still make them noticeable, or I know there is a word for it. I don't know. Somehow it just somehow escapes me, but you know, they're still trying to make the Muppets a recognizable icon even to this day. Now, nowadays, by doing so, it's been often a bit of a hit and miss. Like, it started off this decade with the 2011 Muppet movie starring Jason Segel and Amy Adams. And that actually turned out to be a massive hit. Critics were loving it. In fact, on Rotten Tomatoes, you'll find that it got almost 100% in there on the tomato meter. And it actually won an Oscar for Best Original Song for Man or Muppet. So, yeah, it really did make a big impact and relevant. That's what I want to say. That was the word I was looking for. And that movie made the Muppets relevant again. And it really got successful to the point that it even got a sequel with Muppets Most Wanted. Now, that one wasn't that much of a hit as much as the 2011 Muppet movie, where the critics were saying it was good, but not great. That, and also, it didn't make as much money, but it did definitely make an impact among our culture. In fact, Muppets Most Wanted actually spun off a very popular meme where you see Constantine wearing a black robe and he's in front of Kermit, pretty much showing that it looks like you see a doppelganger in front of you. And the meme is pretty much trying to say, for example, like, you see Kermit thinking, oh, maybe I should go and exercise. And then you see Constantine coming in going, we're gonna have McDonald's for lunch. You know, that kind of meme right over there. And it really did get massively popular. So, at the very least, yeah, Muppets Most Wanted is not the most popular Muppet movie, but it did make a big impact. But then, you got 2015. And from there, you got the Muppet series that aired on ABC. Now, I didn't hate that series itself. I thought it was okay, and I have seen worst things that ever came out of the Muppets. But yeah, it didn't go well per se. And there were a lot of things that just really didn't work. And the thing is, with the 2015 Muppet series, they really tried to emphasize onto rebooting and modernizing the Muppets, where the style of the show is pretty much like a parody of The Office. And the show that they're trying to running is a late night talk show starring Miss Piggy. So that was the big thing with all that. And it didn't work out well, and it only lived for just one season, and that's pretty much it. I did admire the fact that during the second half, like when 2016 rolled along, they tried to fix things up. Like, they tried to reject all the stupid things that came from the series. Like, all the things that really didn't work. Like, the new girlfriend that Kermit have. Like, that one was completely rejected altogether. And all that, like, they try to make it more about the Muppets than anything, but ultimately, it didn't work out well. Now, when I heard about this news, honestly, it really did make me happy for Disney that they're not giving up on the Muppets. They still see them as a viable franchise, in a lack of a better term. And, you know, there's still some money to go into it. You know, they're not killing off the Muppets. They do see that there is still a significance with the Muppets. They're still worth keeping alive and still worth making stuff with it. So I am glad that they're not giving up on them and giving them another chance with this TV show. And while there is no information as of yet about this series itself, I will say, however, if there is one thing that I do hope for this series, is that, seriously, at this point, Disney needs to stop making a Muppet reboot and focus more on making a Muppet show. Just bring the Muppets back to its roots and maybe just go and make a variety series out of it. You know, you could still make it about the characters with Kermit, Gonzo, Animal, Fozzie, Miss Piggy, and all those guys. But honestly, if you want to make this work, just stick to the core of what made the Muppets so memorable after all these years. Just make it a cute little variety show starring Kermit the Frog that we see a bunch of crazy Muppets in the most creative way possible, singing Broadway songs and all that kind of stuff. Really, just go, like, really, stop focusing on rebooting the Muppets and make a Muppet show. That's all I'm asking from this series. And especially, this is going to be a big moment for Matt Vogel, the guy who replaced Steve Whitmire to play as Kermit the Frog. Now, we've seen him practice a lot as Kermit with the Muppets Thoughts of the Week on YouTube, but now this is his big moment to truly prove if he can really be Kermit the Frog with this brand new series. So overall, I would have to say that I do wish Disney the best of luck and the people working on this series the best of luck to make a great Muppet series that, at the very least, can do better than the 2015 series. And with all that said, that is all that I've got for this week. So thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Monsieur Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. Now, if you've listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little bit of a favor and rate and review this episode? You know, that would actually be great and it would help us tremendously. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button in our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes.